Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How y'all doing today? We would like to invite y'all to the front. You see some people congregating up in the front. We'd just like to have y'all come down with us so that we can worship in spirit and in truth at the altar before the Lord.
That's right.
How y'all doing today? Y'all doing well? Today's a great day.
You know,
the Bible says that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. So, I mean, where else could you be? Where else would you want to be instead of in the presence of a God that can make you whole, can heal hearts, come on, can heal diseases? All right? So we go praise and worship. Who's ready? Come on, one more time. Who's ready to worship? Let's go. Come on and sing this with me. Say,
we love to call your name. It's something we cannot explain that happens when we proclaim your
change.
Things change.
We can determine how we're going to look at our lives. So I encourage you to praise, continue to praise, continue to lift up his name. There's a table that you prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood shed for me. This is how I fight my battles. Want to sing that again? There's a table that you prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood is shed for me. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. And this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. This is how I fight. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight. It may look like I'm surrounded. Yeah. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Sing it out. It may look like.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight.
Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you that you shift atmospheres, God. His word says that we don't get a spirit of fear. We get a spirit of adoption when we call him Abba, Father. That our spirits bear witness with one another so that we are children of God. Hold on to that. Think on that. Praise him for that.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he bought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son. Slave to sin, Jesus died for me.
Hallelujah! Yes, he died.
Child.
And I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
Come on, sing out.
You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Hallelujah. Isn't it great to be free in Jesus? Isn't it great to know that God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine? Isn't it great to know that you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord? Shout, I'm free. Come on, tell somebody, I'm free. Why don't you find five folks you don't know this morning and say, I am free in Jesus. Come on, make sure you go find somebody you don't know this morning. Don't just go to the folks you've met before. Meet somebody and say, I am free in Jesus. Thank you.
everybody, grab a seat, grab a notebook, grab a pen, and get ready because we've got information coming up that you do not want to miss. See you at a group, and y'all gotta get as psyched as she is because there's food, there's family, and there's fellowship. Isn't that right, Abby?
That's right. Okay. We wanna see you at your local campus's information center. We'll see you there.
Hey, family, we know you're so excited about what Jesus is doing in your life, and we wanna give you an opportunity to continue to grow. That's why we have available Next Steps classes 1, 2, and 3. We would love to see you at any of the campuses. And you can find this information at histabernacle.com or right at your campus's info center. But this is important because what we know in Jesus is what we can do in Jesus. We want to see you go to that next level this year. Go ahead and join today so you can start on your next level.
Hey, are you new to His Tabernacle? Listen, we have a class just for you. It's called Growth Track. We want to help you connect with the family here at His Tabernacle, help you grow up and discover what God can do through you.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Are y'all a little tired? Well, let's try that one more time. How y'all doing this morning? Amen, amen. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We are incredibly excited you could join us today for our 11 a.m. service. If this is your first time to worship with us at His Tabernacle, can I just see your hand just lifted up like this? If this is your first time. Yes, we do have a first-time guest. Amen. Awesome. Put your hands together for her. Thank you so much. We're so excited you could be here. We have a gift that's coming to you right now. And after service, I want to invite you to our guest reception. On my left, your right, you get to meet some people from our staff. We want to just tell you thank you so much for coming to worship with us. You could have chose any church to be at, but you are here today. So we are so excited. Put your hands together one more time for our guests. I want to welcome our live stream family as well. So typically across our country, we reserve the month of October to celebrate the pastors of every single church. And we as well, we want to join in that celebration. So we are going to be celebrating our senior pastors, Pastor Michael Spencer and Pastor Rhonda Spencer, the weekend of October 19th and October 20th. Yes, amen. They have labored for so long and so much to build this house, which is God's house. They say it time and time again, this is the Lord's work. And they have said yes to it. And them saying yes to the Lord is why you and I are here. All the breakthroughs we've had in our lives, the great things that God has done, I know every person in this room, they have played a part in that. So we're just excited to celebrate them. We're first going to be starting off with a banquet on October 19th. It's going to be fun. No dress up, get all dialed up, whatever it is that you want to do. But we're going to come here. We're just going to have a great time with them. That's going to be October 19th. It's going to be $10 a person, and you can sign up in the foyer directly after service. In addition, that following day, October 20th, on a Sunday, we're going to be celebrating them all day long. And I love how Pastor hates to be embarrassed, so we cannot wait to embarrass him all weekend long. So we want to just tell our pastors, thank you so much to the both of you. We don't have to wait till the 19th and the 20th to celebrate them. We want to celebrate them and honor them now. So thank you guys so much. Thank you both so much. We are incredibly excited for what the Lord has done so far and what He's going to be doing. Amen. We're going to move right into our time of tithes and offerings. So if you have an envelope, hi. If you have an envelope in your hand, could you just lift it up? I love seeing people. This is like my favorite part about being up. I get to see different people. If you're ready to give, just stand up to your feet. If you want to give via text, we're going to have that up on the screens for you as well. We are excited for the covenant right that we have when we give. The word of the Lord is not just words on a piece of paper. It is truly the word of God, as if God is speaking to you. And we know that God, he is a God that he will not lie. He has never changed his mind about you or I or the promise he has put over our lives. So today, as we pray and as we give, we're going to be holding on to that covenant right, that with my tithe, with my offering, with my seed, that there's going to be a supernatural return on it that the enemy cannot touch at all. So I'm excited that starting today, testimonies will begin to flood your house. Let our pastors and our staff be overwhelmed by the testimonies coming in to say, look what the Lord has done, because I was obedient to give. Amen. So are you ready? Let's put our offering up in the air. Your phone up in the air. Even if you don't have anything to give, just put your hands in the air as a sign of faith that next week you will have something. Amen. So let's say our supernatural declaration. If I obey, then I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Now shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Also, you can now come down to the front and give your offering. If you're watching online, go ahead and click that giving button. You can go ahead and just get involved with your covenant right that as you give, every blessing the Lord has for you shall be released in the name of Jesus.
We love to
day out, isn't it? I've so enjoyed. My wife and I went on a motorcycle ride yesterday. It was 42 degrees when we left our house, all bundled up. We came down Jerusalem Hill. It was 57 degrees. And by the, excuse me. Yeah, 52 degrees. When we got to the bottom, it was 47. Time to bundle up. But it was beautiful out. Thank God for how gorgeous our fall has been already. Amen? This is the year of, oh, come on now, I said this is the year of, we got a lot of folks out today, don't know where they are, but you're going to have to be loud to be able to fill their zone, amen? This is the year of, there you go, that sounds like a full house. We are so excited that today you're in the house of God. This whole year, God's bringing you to new levels in your walk with him, new levels in your faith. New levels in your authority. And I want to remind you not to stop that. It is so important that you and I live in the next level. Too many believers are settled where they are. And it's time to grow up in Christ in these last days when God is going to really start, what you're going to start seeing those prophecies and things come to quicker fruition than ever before. I don't know. Did you hear the latest one? I'm going to read that. Is that all right? Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth just posted one that is so powerful about the end times, and I want to just show it to you real quickly. Where are we? Where are we? Where are we? I've never, let me see. Hold on. Pictures. 2019, I guess October, right? This is October. Hold on. I'm going to have to go over here. Bring my phone there, young man. This is a really cool prophecy that's being fulfilled that many of you might not even realize it, and that is that it shows how close Jesus is to coming. And it says this, right now China is merging 170 million security cameras with artificial intelligence and facial recognition technology to create a mega surveillance state. Many of you don't realize, but the Bible says if you don't have the mark of the beast in Revelation chapter 11, that the enemy or the Antichrist is going to be able to tell where you are. Many people don't realize this. In America right now, every single person on average is captured 300 times via camera right here on a daily process. Isn't that amazing? You know, not only that, the technology, other stuff that the Antichrist is going to have, it is going to be so cool. I'm just glad I'm not going to be here. Amen? Aren't you glad you're not going to be here? And my goal and the goal of His Tabernacle Family Church is not only that we're not going to be here, but we're going to take as many people as possible. Amen? How many of you don't want your friends not going to heaven? How many of you want your relatives going to heaven with you? Amen. How many of you want people to know the Jesus that you know? Amen. That's what this is all about. This is not about religion. This is not about building a church. This is about you and I becoming sons and daughters of God and growing up in Christ and reproducing, being disciplers and being soul winners that we can reach this region for Jesus. That is why we're here. And in that, we've all got to go to the next level. Thank God for where we are when we got saved. But how many of you know salvation is the beginning, not the end? I said, how many of you know salvation is the beginning and not the end? And in that comes maturation, comes maturity, where there are many believers in America today that are just satisfied with saying, Jesus, come in my heart, which is awesome. But God didn't save you just to go to heaven. How many of you know you're not in heaven yet? You better figure that one out quick. You know, you're not in heaven yet. You're where? You're on earth. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. You and I as sons and daughters are the representation of heaven on earth. That's why we pray that prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do we bring heaven to earth? Through the sons and the daughters sharing the gospel, bringing the principles of the Constitution called the Word of God alive in everyday life. This is who you are. This is what God's plan is for your life. And the problem is, if we're not going to go to our next level, then we're always going to be who we were. I thank God that I'm no longer the same person. I thank God I'm a new person in Christ. But just not a new person in Christ, but that I can grow up in Christ. Amen? And go to a new level of maturity in Jesus. So we've been talking this whole year on next level. We talked about next level faith. We talked about how we have to walk by faith and not by... Come on, I walk by faith and not by... Amen. We've been talking about next level health, how God wants you healthy in your body. We've also been talking about next level health. God wants you healthy in your soul, your intellect, your emotions, and your will. And today, we've been covering depression. We did 2 weeks on depression, I think three, on how not to live a life of depression. And this morning will be the culmination, and that is, let's put the X in anxiety. Amen? Turn to someone and say, it is never God's will to live in anxiety. Say it this way, it's a little bit easier. Anxiety is never God's will. Tell somebody else, anxiety is never God's will. One more time, find somebody. Anxiety is never God's will. We have learned in America today that everyone's trying to be tolerant of everybody. But there are certain things you've got to learn not to be tolerant of. Tolerance gives open doors. Tolerance gives voice. Tolerance gives opportunity. But I'm here to tell you there are certain things you can never be tolerant of. You can't be tolerant of sin. Can I hear an amen? You should never be tolerant of sickness. Say amen. And you can never be tolerant of the devil. Say amen. Never coddle a devil. Can I hear an amen? And you should never coddle or tolerate anxiety. Anxiety is never God's will. You see, we should never tolerate what is not God's will. If it's God's will, then praise the Lord, we embrace. We run with it, even though at times it's challenging and difficult. But when it's not God's will, when God is distinct and clear about this, that this is not what I have for you, this is not what I have for your life, then there must be an intolerance towards that. Not just an intolerance, a repulsion from our own being that I will not have this in my life. I will not allow that to whisper in my ear. I will not allow and participate with that situation. And anxiety is never God's will. Say that with me. Anxiety is never God's will. You must become intolerant of anxiety. Our challenge today is that in America, we are living in one of the highest stressed worlds we have ever lived. Now, let me qualify that. What I mean is, in America, we are at the highest level of technology. We have the highest level of wealth we've ever had. We are in the prosperous flow in America at this period of time, even economically. We are looking at the highest education that we could ever generate. We can go through all the great things that America is, but right now, America is more stressed than any other nation of the world. They actually say that people that live in third world countries that at times have to struggle for food have a less level anxiety than Americans. And it's a challenge that we've got to overcome, especially in the church. If we're going to be an example to this world, we've got to see that anxiety has no place in our lives. And I will not tolerate anxiety because anxiety is never God's will. Amen or oh my. Right now in America, we spend $300 billion a year with stress-related factors. 300 B. Billion, not million, $300 billion a year are spent on health issues and emotional issues. And we're dealing with stress factors that bring you to the place where $300 billion a year are being spent to navigate through stress. It's amazing, and I know these are old stats, but they're just powerful. 1997 to 2004, we doubled our spending on anxiety meds. I'd be interesting to find out what it is now. In 1997, $900 million was spent on anti-anxiety medication. In 2004, $2.1 billion. That's not a small jump. That's a massive jump in a short amount of period of time. Our young people are in an epidemic of anxiety that we've never seen before. College kids are filled with anxiety. One study of more than 200,000 college freshmen showed all-time lows in mental health and emotional stability. Robert Lehe points out the average child today experiences the same level of anxiety as the average psychiatric patient in the 1950s. We're seeing a change, and the change is we're embracing anxiety. Believers in the body of Christ are now embracing anxiety as something that is, well, I guess that's just what I've got to live with. But I'm here to tell you today, anxiety is never from God. And if it's not from God, then God has a way out. Say amen. The book of Corinthians 10 says this. He says, there's no temptation, no trial that is too big that God will not give a way of escape. So anxiety, because it is not from God, should never be accepted as from God, therefore should be repelled by the believers, and God has given us the ability supernaturally to live outside of anxiety. Turn to someone and say, I refuse to allow anxiety to run my life. Amen. It's time we got to get that in our spirit. Amen. We've got to get that in our spirit. You cannot tolerate anxiety. We must put an X in anxiety in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 5, 7 through 10 says this. Casting, which means throwing. Doesn't mean tossing. Doesn't mean passing. It means you got to get aggressive. How many of you know there are times that you've got to be aggressive? You can't sit back and just say, well, you know, I'm hoping it all works out. No, there are times you have got to be aggressive in your life for the stability of your life. And I want you to hear that God's design is for you to be healthy in your mind. For the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Turn to someone and say, I got a sound mind. Well, I'm hoping I do. No, you do. Before you were ever saved, Jesus Christ died on the cross, and on there he paid for not only our sins, but he paid for our health. Part of our health, Isaiah chapter 53, is that he took on our pain and our sorrows. Sorrows meaning depression, meaning anxiety. You and I are not called, we have not been created to handle anxiety. That's why it's so challenging for so many people. You're carrying something that is not for you to carry. The Bible says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. The Bible says, take my yoke upon you. It is easy. You see, Christ never called you to live an anxious life. Anxiety should never be part of your makeup. Anxiety should never be part of your day-to-day life. You have been called to be free and free indeed. And this is not just a religious statement. This is God's word statement. You know, I found something that is kind of concerning to me, and it's this. I've heard many believers say to me, well, I believe in the Bible, but, you know, I know God says that he'll do this, but I think that, you know, God's part of the answer, but not the whole answer. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the whole answer. I said, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the whole answer. He's not part of the answer. He is the whole answer. Everything that Christ is, everything that's wrapped up into the covenant of God, will fulfill every need of your life. And until we grasp a hold of that, we can't have faith towards that. And if we don't have faith towards that, we can't activate heaven for that. You see, Christ Jesus paid the entire price for your mental health, your body health, your intellectual health, and for every aspect of your spirit man. Cast all your cares upon him. The word cares there means worry and anxiety. For he cares for you. See, that's what I love about Jesus. He has been created to carry your problems. So many of us try to be God. And how many of you realize real quick you can't be? You know, I can handle this. How many of you realize real quick you couldn't handle this? Sadly enough, though, between the realization of I've got this thing and I can't figure this thing out is usually a life of anxiety. You've heard people call themselves, well, I'm just a worry wart. That is not a compliment. That means you're casting the word of God out of your life. You see, when we start to really understand the power of what we're talking about, when we're talking about anxiety and peace, they are opposites. One is in the presence of God called peace. Anxiety is the diminished presence of God. When you and I are living a life of anxiety, we are dismissing God's capability of the supernatural ability to move what is not as though it already is. We are taking God out of the equation when we live a life of anxiety. Well, this is where I'm talking. We've got to become people that I will not tolerate this in my life. When you coddle anxiety, you will only have medical issues to follow. You will only have mental issues to follow. This is where Christ has already paid the price for you and I to be healed from anxiety. Not just healed, but set free. Some of you need to be set free from a spirit of infirmity. Can I hear an amen? Some of you need to be set free from a spirit of fear. And this is where you and I as believers need to hear the word of the Lord. Be sober, be vigilant, because the devil, your adversary, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in faith. Shout faith. Shout faith is the victory. You see, we resist the devil by faith. The difference between living a life of anxiety and living a life of joy and peace, even in the midst of the storm, is learning how not to allow your faith to be diminished. This is why the Bible says we fight the good fight of, come on, fight the good fight of, come on, fight the good fight of, for I walk by and not by sight. As a believer, this is our challenge. This is not a one-day experience. This is something we fight constantly because we have a devil. He's a real devil. He's a real adversary. He's trying to devour you. How will he devour you? Well, the Bible talked about it right there. He said, cast your cares. Don't be anxious because anxiety will always disable you. I want you to realize quickly, and that is that this is not a sneak attack. This is not, wow, I didn't think that that was real. No, the Bible's clear to us that anxiety is a way that the enemy is going to try to get into your life. Worry is a way the enemy is going to try to get into your life to diminish your faith. Because if he can diminish your faith, I want to remind you, the devil's not after your money. The devil's not after your home. The devil is after your faith. Because if he gets your faith, he has all of the rest. Can I hear an amen? So we've got to fight this good fight of faith by being aware. The Bible says, be vigilant. Come on now, be aware. Be sober-minded that the enemy's going to come in with anxiety, not a sneak attack. Because we've already been warned that this is coming our direction. Bible goes on to say, resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by the brotherhood all over the world. But may the God of all peace, of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you. Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7 says this, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, the sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. The King James, New King James Version says it this way, be anxious for nothing. What is nothing? Come on, ladies, no thing. Come on, what is nothing? It is no thing. You see, this is the power of being a believer. When you're not born again, when problems come your way, the only thing you have is what you can do. But when you know Christ as your Savior, the difference between us and the world is that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, you're not on your own. You're not just out there to make it by. But you have the Son of God by his Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. There is nothing that you can't accomplish. There is nothing that is too powerful. There is nothing that is too overwhelming. With God on your side, you cannot fail. The problem is, do you believe it? The truth isn't the problem. It's believing the truth that's the challenge. And that's where we find the door opening for anxiety to come into our life. And that's where we've got to be aware. We've got to be vigilant. We've got to have understanding. The Bible says that, I just want to give you some more facts. Here we go. What is stress? A lot of people look at stress, and stress is the start of anxiety. But many people don't understand stress. I want to read a quote for you. It's just powerful. According to experts, stress is a burst of energy that basically advises you on what to do. In small doses, stress has many advantages. For instance, stress can help you meet daily challenges, motivate you to reach your goals. In fact, stress can help you accomplish tasks more efficiently. It can even boost your memory. Thank you, Jesus. Stress also is a vital warning system producing a fight or flight response. When the brain perceives some kind of stress, it starts flooding the body with chemicals like epinephrine, and cortisol. I want you to hear me. We always look at stress as a bad thing, but stress is not a bad thing. Stress actually is what makes you stronger. James chapter 1 says, listen, count it all joy when you fall into different trials and tribulations, for it produces patience, and it goes on a whole list of things. We know that the Bible says, don't find it strange when the fiery trial comes upon you as some strange thing has happened. You see, stress is not a bad thing unless you allow it to get from the outside to the inside. Pastor Chad gave an example this morning that I thought, I wish he had told me earlier. We'd have had a SWAT do something on it. And it was this. He said, if you take a boat and you put a boat in the water, it floats because of the stress on the water against the wood or against the boat. There is not a problem with the water causing stress to the boat until you put a hole in the boat and let the water inside. Once you let the water inside, it always sinks the ship. So it's important to know that stress is not a bad thing, but what God has created you for is to become more than an overcomer. So stress is not a strange thing in your life. The problem is when you allow the stress to get in you. When you start thinking, listen now, I can give you the vital warning signs. You ready? The vital warning signs is when stress has gotten inside is when all you're thinking about is that issue. You're going to bed with that thought. You're dreaming about that thought. You're waking up with that thought. That is when you can identify that that concern or that problem has gone from the outside of the boat to the inside of the boat. And if you don't stop it, you don't take authority over it, it's going to sink you. It's called anxiety. And anxiety is never the will of God. You see, we all have to make choices and decisions in our lives. This is something that we don't like to talk about. We just want to say, Jesus, you took it all. And I love the fact that Jesus took it all. But you can't be saved without asking Christ to be your Lord and Savior. You can't be filled with the Holy Ghost unless you're going to speak with other tongues. You got to make choices. Everything we do is based on the choices that we make in our lives, and it's the same when it comes to this process of allowing something in our life that should never be tolerated. It is a choice that we make in our hearts and our minds, and we've got to become people that are not going to tolerate it in our lives. We've got to become aggressive against anxiety because it is never God's will for you to be anxious. Now, I do want to say this. There is a difference between concerns and anxiety. Concerns are important. How many of you know that when you see something that is not right, it concerns you? That is good, because that means, according to the Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says, don't be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and then the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You see, the power of you and I identifying a concern is that now God has shown us that, the Holy Spirit has revealed that, circumstances have unveiled that, so that you can start moving into a life of prayer and with thanksgiving, knowing that God is able to turn those things which are not as though they already are. It's the ability to activate your faith, not to live in your concern. So concerns are good. I've been concerned many times in life. Building this building was a concern. I remember when we were building this building, we had on average, I think our weekly income was like $8,500. And to build this building, the mortgage payment was $8,000 a month, which means very, very, very tight. And I had to ask God clearly, is this what you asked me to do? Is this what you told us to do? Is this where you told us to step out on nothing to land on something? God, is this the act of faith that you showed me? Yes, God, I'm concerned, but it's okay because I can turn that concern into prayer. And if I turn it into prayer, I can call those things which are not as though they already are. I can walk by faith and not by sight. I don't have to be, come on now, I don't have to be controlled by my surroundings. I control them through the power and the supernatural prayer of God. So concerns aren't bad. God has given us that wisdom to be concerned about situations so we can pray. Now, my children concerned me. Pastor Cody was a sneaky guy, But Pastor Chad was not. He was a pothead. Drinker, pothead, pill popping. Do you know I didn't even know he popped pills until he preached his first sermon here and he told everybody he used to pop pills. It's like, don't say anything more, man. I don't want to know nothing. But my wife, when the babies were born, we dedicated them to God. We declared that, God, these are not our children, these are your children, just like it was in Samuel. We declared that in the name of Jesus, that we'd raise them up in the love and the admonition of God. We brought them to church. We spoke the word to them. We did devotions with them. Listen now, moms and dads, if you want your kids to be successful, you've got to invest in them. So we were investing every single day in the word of God in their life. We were investing in sharing and bringing them to the house of the Lord. I remember my son, Chad, he would say, I don't want to go to church anymore. I says, you use my toilet paper, you put your head on my pillow, and you use my water. You're going to church or find your own house. Amen. So here he is. He's sitting in church over on this side, squelched down in his chair, usually sleeping. Here he is, man. He's not paying attention. But it did not matter to me whether he was paying attention. It mattered to me that I was doing God's will. And God's will was to raise my children in the principles of the kingdom. And whether or not they respond is not my problem. That's between them and God. And train up a child in the way they should go. When they get old, they will not depart. And I leaned on that. And I watched God. Listen now, there were times I was overwhelmingly concerned. I remember God waking me up at 3 o'clock in the morning multiple times over Chad. And I would go and I would just pray in front of the fireplace for 2 hours in the Holy Spirit. I just pray in tongues because I didn't know what to pray in English. I didn't know all these details that I know now. But I would pray. I refused to allow anxiety to control me. I refused to allow it to consume me. Why? Because I knew that I gave my children to God, and it's now God's problem because I'm praying, and I've got the peace of God, and I'm going to see them come to fruition as they turn. And man, when Pastor Chad turned, can I hear an amen? When Pastor Cody turned, I remember Pastor Cody's big turn was we were out motorcycle riding. He was fresh, and I forgot to tell him where you look is where you go. It is a big detail. And so I said, we're going straight. And he figured in his head he was going to get onto the highway. He turned right to go on the highway and T-boned a car. I watched him T-bone it. He went right into a handstand and stopped. Man, he stopped midair. Came down. His body never touched the other vehicle. It literally totaled his motorcycle. And man, that guy saw Cody's eyeballs coming in his windshield. Excuse me, in his side window. Cody went into a handstand, came down on his hands. I rode over to him and I said, boy, that was your eternity. I hope you're ready. And he wasn't at that point. And God started bringing him back. Why? Because God loves him. God loves your children more than you love them. And what's amazing is when you learn how not to step into anxiety and to learn how to trust God, yes, the circumstances are real. Yes, the concerns are real, but they don't need to own your life. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So concerns are important. God is not asking you not to be concerned. But when the concern leaves and goes into anxiety is when you allow fear to start controlling. The moment you start to worry, you know that now you're taking on water. The more you start feeling that anxious, that anxiety sensation, you know you've now opened the door and water is rushing in. That is what God wants you to identify, because the moment you let the water start rushing in, the moment you start to worry, the moment you start allowing a spirit of fear to start controlling your life, you're going to find very simply that you're going to go into anxiety, and anxiety is going to put you in a position of debilitation. That roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, has now apprehended you, and now you are literally, it's all about you. Well, I don't know if I can handle this. Well, I'm going to try. Well, you know, I don't know if I'm happy anymore. You'll find that everything when somebody's in anxiety is literally all about themselves. What is so powerful about that is the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. The Bible says, looking up, not down. What happens when a person steps into anxiety is they stop looking unto Jesus as the one who can help them, and they start looking to themselves. And I want you to know that you and I can't heal the wing of a fly. So we've got to arrest ourselves. We've got to arrest ourselves and bring into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise itself up against God. Because the moment that we start allowing ourselves to step into anxiety, we are actually starting to allow ourselves to be God. You and I don't know what tomorrow holds. You and I can't figure out our own life. How many of you thought you figured out your life and it changed real quick? This is where, man, this is about relationship with Jesus Christ. This is not about you joining a religion. This is not about you joining a church. You can't join here anyways. This is about you knowing God. That's why we're constantly pushing you to know Jesus. That's why we're pushing. This is why the devil's working hard to keep you out of church. He's working hard to keep your children out of church. Well, let's meddle a little bit. When your kids are not in the house of God, what you're showing them is that God is not as important as something else in life. When you're teaching your child that, I want you to know that your passion for God will even be smaller probably in your children. I just never gave my kids an option. Because I'm responsible to them, for them, until they'll do that out of my house. And I don't want to live in worry, and you've got to worry. Come on now. You've got to worry when your kids don't know God a little bit. And that's where you learn how to cast your care upon Christ, and you start declaring and binding the devil that blinds the mind of the unbeliever and calling them back to salvation. That's when you start taking an aggressive posture in the Holy Ghost, and you start declaring that God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. That's when you take an aggressive posture and you bind the devil and you bring in those children through the power of prayer. But you see, if you're not right with God, how are you going to stay in faith? Amen or oh my. Somebody once said to this me, your problem is not your problem. It's what you do with your problem. Now I learned that one well, man, because I want to tell you something, that I've had many issues in life. I'm talking ministry is filled with issues. That's really what it is. Because your whole ministry is people. How many of you as people have an issue? Not many of you. Glory to God. How many of you are the issue? We all have issues. I don't care who you are. Really, I thank God for the call that's on my life as a pastor. But truthfully, that doesn't define who I am. It defines what I do. Who I am is Michael Spencer, and I have the same opportunity of worry that you have. I have the same opportunity of anxiety that you have. I have the same opportunity not to trust God as you have. And this is where I made a decision in my life. Listen, I don't want to deal with anxiety. I don't want to deal with having being consumed with somebody or something to where now my entire life is owned. Listen, I don't want to sell a piece of property called my brain. Anxiety sells real estate. When you live in anxiety, what you're anxious over literally is controlling a part of your life. That's why it is so not God. Because the only one that should control your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we allow anxiety to rise, come on now, when we allow the pressure from the outside of the boat to get to the inside of the boat, we start taking on water. Now we're starting to bail out all the time. And man, if you can't bail out fast enough, now the water is starting to overtake your ship. And now all of a sudden you're starting to go down. I want you to hear me now. It is never God's will for you to go down. It is never God's will for you to live anxious. It is never God's will for you to be a person of fear or fret or worry. God has called his son to make you free so that you can live in peace and joy, so that you can live in love and you can live in freedom. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You've been called to live free. Truthfully, I've dealt with anxiety over the years. And it's amazing, you know, people, you tell them that you've dealt with anxiety and they look at you like, you? Absolutely. Sometimes it's circumstances like this building. I remember we were running the electric. And the electric was in the price of the building, which was $1.1 million. Now remember, this means I'm responsible for $1.1 million. Yeah. So now, all of a sudden, we've signed the bank loan, and they're starting to build the building. They bring the electric down to that little box that's out there, and the builder comes up to me and he says, just want you to know I made a slight mistake in calculations. And that is, you have to have three phase if you're going to have air conditioners, which means it's going to be another $40,000. So I called the banker. I said, you know, we're going to need another 40 grand. He goes, well, the only way to get 40 grand is for you to remortgage, which is going to cost you $100,000. I felt concern come on me. And I said, well, we have $40,000 in the church bank account, but that will give the church zero. And I said, God, you told me to build the building. You knew this was going to happen before it ever happened. You said that this is your house, that you're going to take care of it, and that, Lord, if I walk by faith, you'll take good care of me. Lord, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread, that if I sow, that I shall reap. If I sow sparingly, I shall reap sparingly. If I sow bountifully, I shall reap bountifully. Lord, you've seen us sow. You've seen us give. You've seen this church give to our community. Lord, I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to step out on nothing to land on something. We paid the $40,000, and let me tell you something. It felt just like my belt going just like this. I don't even think there's something back there. I had to make new holes. And man, I tell you something, sometimes when things didn't work out and they were low on a weekly budget, I had to sit down and I had to pray. But I had to make a decision. Am I going to allow this to own my life? Or am I going to allow God to be God? You see, I want you to know what I love about my God is that there is nothing too big for him. That there is no problem that is too big or too small. That he cares about every single thing. And he said, cast your cares, cast your worries on me, for I care for you. And God, who is able, he will make a way where there is no way. In all these years, as the mortgage has gone on, we're in our 10th year in this building, actually 11th year in our building. We've never missed a mortgage payment. We've never been late on a mortgage payment. We've never been late on an insurance payment. We've never been late on a light bill. God has always been faithful. I don't know how. It's not my business, because I cast my care upon him. And he cares for me. I've had times when people have attacked me, that attacked my character, have lied about me. I had one time that the lies were so huge, they were shocking and initially debilitating. I couldn't believe that somebody would actually say that about me. I never did anything negative towards them or against them. But the attack was vicious, ferocious. And I remember for a few months, man, it was difficult. I had a problem sleeping. I would go to bed thinking about that individual. I would wake up in a dream thinking about that individual. The first thought when I'd get up in the morning would be that individual. And I had to make a choice in my life. I had lost my peace. I had lost my joy. Sorry, you can't lose what resides within. I left it. I allowed the problem to be stronger than my God. I actually knelt my knees to the God called worry, fret, and anxiety and worshiped them more than I worship my God of peace. Wherever you bow your knee is who you worship. I made a decision one morning. I said, I refuse from this day forward to allow that individual to control my thoughts. I refuse to give them real estate in my heart, in my mind, and in my brain. And I take authority over this in the name of Jesus. And I want you to know that night, I slept good. When I got up in the morning, I had a song of the Lord singing in my heart. I had to make a decision that I would not tolerate anxiety, that I would not tolerate worry, that I would not tolerate fret, that I made a decision that I choose peace, I choose joy, I choose love, I choose the fruit of the Holy Spirit who dwells within me to be stronger than the environment that's around me. So stress in and of itself isn't bad. Concern isn't bad. But when you let it in, it starts owning your life. And that's never God's will. I remember my very first panic attack. I know, isn't it weird hearing your pastor say that? My very first one. I had three. I was on Route 40 going from Tennessee to South Carolina. I really wasn't worried about anything. Really wasn't concerned about anything. I was just going to the next place to preach. And on my next place, on the way on Route 40, all of a sudden, I started feeling all the, what's the word I want to use? My nerve, there we go. Started feeling all of my nerves go on fire. I started watching my hand get further away from the steering wheel and coming back and going away. And then I started all of a sudden feeling a little bit like I was going to pass out. And immediately I started to think about this. And my thoughts were, I'm not worried. I'm not anxious. This has got to be a spirit of fear. Anxiety attacks have a root in a spirit of fear. Hear me now. Anxiety is a choice, but it is an open door to the demonic. I'm not a demon hunter. I don't call everything a demon. I don't have a demon of shoes. I don't have a demon of water. I don't have a demon of earwax. I'm not a demon hunter, but I'm telling you there are certain things that have diabolical root. Whether you like it or not, the opposite of faith is fear. And the one who most pushes fear is the devil and his angels. And that is demon spirits. So what happens is, the Bible says, for God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. There is a spirit of fear. Remember, fear takes concern and makes it large and opens up the cavern to your boat, then now you start to sink. Fear is, I can't believe this is happening. Everything is out of control. I'm losing everything. Man, you've got to grab yourself, because the moment you open that door, the Bible says, don't give the devil a foothold. You cannot give the devil a foothold in your life with fear. I'm in that car, man. I'm driving down that truck, actually. I'm driving down. And the only thing I knew to do was pray in the Holy Ghost. The only thing I knew to do was pray in tongues. I have never prayed in tongues like I prayed in tongues that day. Man, I was praying so intense. I was praying, why? Because I didn't have the luxury of pulling over to the side of the road and hanging out there and having somebody help me. I had to get the power of God in my life. I had to stir up the gift of God that I received by the laying on of hands. I had to get God's spirit stirring inside of me. For greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I started praying in tongues like I'd never prayed in tongues. And about 20 minutes later, it finally lifted and broke. Another time I'm driving through Mansfield. It was, those two other times were Mansfield. That's why I sent Pastor Dan down there. Each time I thwarted that panic attack by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Paul said this, I speak in tongues more than you all. And I believe in our era right now, our churches are speaking in tongues less than they've ever spoken in tongues. One of the major denominations that is Pentecostal had made an announcement about a decade ago that less than 20% of their churches now, the people are filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues. I want to remind you that Christ did not start his church without the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking with other tongues. He wouldn't even launch his church without that. Why? Because he knew that the pressures that were going to happen. How about Paul and Silas down in the lowest part of the prison? They had been caught preaching the gospel. They were beaten down. Man, literally beaten with rods to their backs wide open. They were brought to the lowest part of the prison. They were locked and stocked. Right now their hands were locked. Their feet were locked. Their backs were wide open. There were rats running around. Come on now. Where they defecated and urinated is where they were. The lowest part of the prison. But I'm here to tell you, they did not get anxious. They did not get worrisome. But at midnight, they started to praise the Lord. They started to sing hymns and songs and spiritual songs. They released the power of God, and the place where they were was shaken, and they were set free. I'm here to tell you that the power of praise will break you free from the spirit of worry and concern. That spirit of heaviness has no place in your life. You need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues and pray more often than you have ever prayed before in the Spirit. Well, I don't know. That's kind of weird. Really? It's so weird that Jesus, he started his church off with it. Well, I don't know if that's for today. Well, let me show you what it's doing for you without it. You get to be consumed with things that you're not supposed to be consumed with. It is the power of God. Dunamis, supernatural. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, and you need to pray in tongues often and always. As Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. And let me tell you, he had reasons to be concerned and stressed. Today, I want to challenge you. What do I do when a panic attack comes? Pray in tongues. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need to get a hold of that word. But what happens when a concern comes to me? Listen, I don't believe this is a one-time done and out. I believe this is a lifetime practice that we live. How many of you have had at least two problems that concerned you in the last month? Were they the same? No, they're different. Sometimes some concerns are so overwhelming that you definitely need a supernatural release of God's power, and I'm talking that's praying in tongues. But then there are principles that you live. When the trial comes to you, when the concern comes to you, we have to make a decision. Am I going to worry about it, or am I going to pray about it? I've got great news for you, for those who are worriers. Worry has never produced anything positive. Worry will not move God. Worry will leave you to anxiety. Worry will captivate you, own you, and finally, physically, even destroy you. Worry is not from God. It's the opposite of faith. So you've got to repel worry, which brings forth anxiety. You've got a choice to make. Everybody say choice. When worry comes your way, you have the choice to obey God's word or disobey God's word. If you obey God's word, you don't have to live in worry. If you disobey God's word and you become God yourself, then anxiety is going to start controlling your life. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication. That means when the trial, the concern comes your way, you and I have a responsibility to start praying. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I've looked at your word. Lord, it says to say it's a financial need. Lord, I looked at your word. I'm a tither and I'm a sower. So therefore, God, your word says that you will rebuke the devourer. This is why, listen now, hear me now. This is why the devil's trying to keep you out of church. This is why the devil's trying to keep you out of the word. This is why the devil's trying to keep you out of the corporate anointing. Because the more he can do that, the weaker you are. And the lions love weak Christians. Yeah, that's preachable right there. You've got to get in the house of God. Fill your spirit. If you're a, come on now, I'm going to say it, I'm going to get in trouble. If you're a Sunday-only Christian, you're missing it. You're going to be weak when the trials come. Sunday morning Christians don't last long when the persecution comes. You got to get in the house of God. Get in the Word of God. You're supposed to say those things with a smile. The moment a concern comes to me, I have to make the choice that I'm going to start praying. Not praying in desperation, but praying in faith. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. This church is not my problem. This is God's problem. And I can't tell you how many times I've had a chat with him and said, listen now, you told me to do this because you told me to do this. We're deficient in this area. I've never seen a manager have to provide for the CEO, the owner of the business. So I expect you're going to take care of business. And every time, God always comes through. But I have to make a choice. Am I going to pray or am I going to worry? That's your first choice. Then your second choice is to remain in prayer, steadfast. If you're not seeing a change immediately, that's when you pray in the Spirit more. If you don't see a change immediately, that's when you stand firm and you get into the Word of God and you start decreeing that God cannot lie, that His Word is yea and it's amen, that I won't turn to the right hand or to the left hand, but I'm going to stand steadfast in His Word. I'm going to know my God and declare who He is. When you stay in that spot, what you're going to find is that outside pressure is going to actually build your faith level. I had a problem believing God for a pencil before. Now, I got to believe God for $25,000 a week, every single week, from people that are just loving God and giving to God. If you don't love and give to God, well, then guess what? God's got to bring it from another area. But the fact is that that's what my faith level has to be every single week for this place just to open the doors. Yet Dr. Hagen with Rhema Bible Institute, it was $1 million a day to open the doors. I don't have that faith level yet. But I will. Then you've got to make this choice. Will I allow my life to be concerned about my trouble or allow my life to be consumed with God? Some of you are weaker than others. That's not talking down to you. That's just where your faith level is. And if your faith level is weak, I want to tell you what to do. Get on the phone. Call a faith friend. I didn't say call a fret friend. I said call a faith friend. Call somebody who will speak life to you. Call somebody who will speak the word to you. Call somebody who will speak the word and pray with you and declare and stand with you. And after you've done all you can do to stand therefore. I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to stand in faith. And I'm going to see God move. And I'm going to see God open the Red Sea. I'm going to cross across on dry ground. I'm going to see the supernatural manifested. For my God is not just a God that's in heaven myriading. He is distinctly involved in my life. Life every single day. You do that and you don't have to worry. I'm not saying it doesn't come. I'm not saying it don't knock on your door. But you and I are the only ones who can open the door to anxiety and stress. We're the only ones. I've made a decision, and I've had to make it often, that I choose not to be controlled by anybody or anything other than Jesus. When my wife was diagnosed with cancer, truthfully, I let that beast in. And man, I want you to know when your loved one is being told that they're not going to make it or that there's going to be serious repercussions from a disease that is not from God, I'd never tolerate sickness. When you wake up in the morning, that threat is still there. And for a while, a little bit, I struggled with that. And I would get up in the morning, I would go to my prayer room, and I'd be overwhelmed with that. I'd have sleepless nights with that. But I had to make a decision. I can't change anything with anxiety. I can't change anything with worry. But I can change everything with prayer. I can change everything with faith. So therefore, I changed my view. I looked up and not down. I focused on Jesus and not on the situation. And we put our faith together and we watched God do a supernatural miracle that's confirmed with photographs, confirmed with doctor's statements that there is no more cancer in her body, not because of a man, but because of a God who's able to do abundantly above. But I had the choice to be destroyed or to be built. And that's your choice. And there are too many people in the body of Christ that are living lives of anxiety. Anxiety is never God's will. It is never God's will. Some of you see no way out. I want you to know there's hope. With God, there's nothing that can't be done. We watched it time and time again. God is the God of the miraculous. You put your faith in him and take your faith out of doubt and worry and fret and anxiety, and you'll see answers start to come your way. Amen? And even when it looks really bad, God can make all things work together for good to those that are in Christ Jesus. So today, if you're struggling with anxiety, I want you to know that we're going to pray with you. Now listen, if you have a spirit of fear on you, which means you automatically get overwhelmed with panic attacks and things like that, we're gonna bind that spirit, because it's a spirit. We're going to bind that spirit today. We're going to bind it and command it to come off your body. He's not in your body, but on your body. A demon cannot possess a Christian, but can oppress a Christian. And what we're going to do then also is we're going to pray for those that just deal with basic anxiety. And we're going to see God start to deliver you. Amen? I believe that God can set you free and make you free. I declare that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I declare that the truth shall make you free. You've heard the truth this morning. I thank God for doctors. I believe in doctors. I go to doctors. But I have a doctor named Jesus. And his word is sufficient and able. And he will set you free in the name of Jesus. God does not want you to be anxious. God does not want you to be worried. God does not want you to live in fret. You've got to make a decision that is never God's will, and I will not tolerate it in my life. I will walk by faith and not by sight. Bow your heads with me this morning. If there's anyone here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you see, you can't be delivered if you're owned by the one you're trying to be delivered from. What does that mean? If you're not born again, the Bible says that your father is the father of lies, the father of disobedience. That means that your father is Lucifer. I know you're not dancing around a pentagram or anything like that, but I'll remind you, the very first sin of Satan was, he said, I will raise myself up above God. I will be as God. When you and I choose to not serve Jesus, that's what we're choosing, to be our own God. So today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I want to introduce you to the very best friend you'll ever have. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always to the end of the world. You see, we're not talking about church attendance. We're talking about knowing God. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, three people already gave their heart to the Lord in first service. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to raise your hand up this morning. I want to lead you to the best friend. He is going to be closer than a brother. He will be there. Thank you, sir. I see your hand in the back. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else this morning? You want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, 3. Come on, get your hand up. 2. And last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. I'm going to have Mindy come right on up here. The lady in the white sweater. And we have the prayer team come to the front of the altar as well. Today, if you're dealing with a spirit of infirmity, today, if you're dealing with a spirit of fear, I've watched it. I've actually called it a spirit of torture, because it is a spirit of torture. I want you to know that you can be free before you leave this church. I'm also going to have Pastor Cody and Pastor Obi go over to that far side. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. It's a free gift, the Bible says. And this gift is for you and for your children and for all those that are far off, all called according to my name. If you're born again, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need to speak in tongues often and always to break the power of fear and worry in your life. Today, if you need freedom, today is your day. I know God's going to make you free, because I know my God and I know what he loves to do. He loves for his children to live in peace and joy and love. Amen? Father, today we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you so much, Jesus, that we don't need an additive, but that you are full all and all. And today we've made a decision that, Lord, we refuse to be owned by fear. We refuse to be owned by anxiety. We refuse to be owned by worry. And we choose to trust in the name of the Lord our God. Holy Spirit, train us, teach us, develop us, grow our faith. That we'll say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, we shall have what we ask. Lord, I thank you so much for the young man that's raised his hand for salvation. I thank you that today he'll never be the same from this day forward in Jesus' name. Lord, everyone that comes up and gets hands laid on him, I declare in Jesus' name liberty and freedom supernaturally by the power of God. The anointing to destroy every yoke of bondage in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, can everybody turn to the person next to him and say, if you didn't raise your hand but you want to give your heart to Jesus, I'll go with you. Don't assume they know. You raise your hand for salvation. I want you to be brave. Make your way right out of your chair. Make your way right up front. Meet Mindy right here in the front end. There they go right there. And they'll be all set. We love you. Have an awesome week. Serve God.
The sun sets free.